This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and talk about the upcoming schedule. Now, here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning to you. Kind of a sad Monday morning as far as Boise State goes. 9 ties, 10 lead changes, and BSU comes up short of a big road win as Nevada made enough plays to get a 6-point win down in Reno.
And Nevada now goes to 7-0 in the conference. They've won 16 straight games against Mountain West opponents dating back to last regular season. Also, the 3 games they got in the Mountain West tournament, they're now 18-3 and really have solidified themselves in the field as of now as an at-large team. Boise State falls to 6-2, clearly still second in the Mountain West. They fall to 16-4 overall. And Paul J., you know, if you told me before the game, you know, as I'm getting ready to go to Reno, if you said you're going to go 3-for-21 from 3-point range, I would have said we lose by 15.
Yep.
But they hung in there, found other ways to get points, made a great run in the second half. It was a great atmosphere, sold out, very similar to the atmosphere that we had the week before against San Diego State. But the thing I would take to the rematch on Valentine's Day here is that you'd like to think at home Boise State's going to shoot the ball better than 3-for-21. So I like Boise State's chances in the rematch. I'm just worried that Nevada's not going to lose to anybody else the rest of the season. And right now Boise State with 2 losses, that Wyoming 1-pointer in overtime. And then, you know, you lost the first meeting in Nevada. Last year, Boise State lost both games to the Wolfpack, and that was difference in the regular season. Both teams lost 4 other games. Nevada was 14-4. Boise State last year was 12-6, but the difference was Nevada won both games against Boise State. So circle the 14th of February because that's going to be a big game.
Well, that's Valentine's Day. So
it starts at 9 o'clock.
So
you guys can take your wives
exactly
to dinner and then go to the game at 9 o'clock.
That's what Mike Prater tweeted the other day. He said, "Get your dinner reservations early that night." Chandler Hutchison still had a good game.
Well, Chandler Hutchison's the best player in the league.
Yeah,
I mean, if you were going to pick players,
that was a great battle between the two top scorers.
He and Caleb Martin, yes. Yep. And then I think the difference for Nevada inside is Jordan Caroline. Yep. Jordan Caroline is 6'7", but he plays like he's 6'9". He had a double-double again. He's he has 22 career double-doubles. I think it's like 8 this year. But he is a force inside. He can also step out and hit some threes. He was a difference maker, in my opinion, for Nevada. But Hutchison, if you're going to line the 10 starters up against the wall and you're going to play pickup with the people who are going to start in any game this season, if you flip the coin and you've got the first pick, you're taking Chandler.
Kind of the way you were describing it on the radio, it sounded like everybody had the body type of either Michael Jordan or Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, and that's one of the advantages for them and maybe one of the reasons why they make it difficult for you to shoot. Because their point guard is 6'4", which is bigger than Boise State's point guards, and everybody else on the team is 6'7". Now, they don't have anybody that's 6'9", but everybody's 6'7", very athletic, much like you're describing a Jordan Pippen kind of player. On defense, if you run a screen, if you and Paul are playing for Nevada, you guys will switch and you'll switch whoever you're guarding. And you don't end up with mismatches. Sometimes when you switch defensively, like if you look at Boise State's roster, if let's say Haney and Chandler are both on the same side of the floor and you switch, Haney and Chandler are very different types of players. So maybe somebody that's quicker, if he ends up on Haney, is going to take him to the basket, or maybe somebody is smaller, you know. It just makes a big difference. Nevada, they don't have a lot of depth. They've got a lot of talent. I thought there was a point in the game where Coach Musselman deserved a technical. He was completely out of the box.
Yep.
He's all over the officials the whole game. I think he gets away with a lot because he's a former NBA coach. But he's got some talent. He's done a great job of having transfers waiting in the wings to assume positions. If you think about it, they lost 50 points a game from last year with 3 guys that graduated or left or, you know, aren't with the team anymore. And they replaced him with 3 guys who are averaging 50 points a game. And they have 2 returning starters in the aforementioned Caroline and the point guard, Lindsey Drew.
I was just at halftime, I'm going, don't get blown out. Just don't get blown out. And then we start with that 12-1 run. I'm going, beat them.
Yeah.
Beat them.
Well, and the start of that run was you forced 3 turnovers, which fueled Boise State's offense. Nevada missed their first two shots, and you make five of your first six.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're up five instead of being down six. So it was an 11-point swing in
that
a very quick amount of time. I mean, it was a great game. Boise State and Nevada, they're going to probably play three times this year, would be my guess. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to play them here. Boise State, my guess, will win here. And then it would not shock me to see them the third time in the conference tournament.
Yeah. Maybe in the championship
game. In the championship game. Because if Boise State comes in second, that's the only place you can play them is the championship game. But that would probably bode well. Like right now, Boise State on the last, and they did lose to Nevada, so maybe they'll drop back. They were on the last four at-large teams to get in without having to go to Dayton for the play-in game. My guess is they'll probably show them going to Dayton at this point. But if you can win the rest of your games and, you know, hang in there, come in second, or, you know, maybe first. But, I mean, I think the Mountain West, unless you start losing to people not named, if you're Nevada, to Boise State, or not named Nevada, if you're Nevada, I think the Mountain West is going to get two teams.
Yeah, Joe Lunardi and all that, he did all of his rating thing on the TV show and had the Mountain West stronger than the Pac-10, and he had WCC right there with the Mountain West. So as far as the three big leagues in the West, with the top two teams from each of those leagues, Nevada and Boise State, are better than the top two from the Pac-10 or the WCC.
Well, the WCC's top two would certainly be St. Mary's and Gonzaga.
Yeah. And they had Boise State
and Nevada
Reno.
Better
than St. Mary's and Gonzaga.
Probably for strength of schedule. And then, I don't know, who would you think they'd think are the best two in the Pac-12?
They had
Arizona one?
And I can't remember who the other one was.
That's what I mean.
46.
Now, back to Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back on a Bronco Monday.
And Boise State got beat at Nevada. Tight game, 74-68. Boise State had some chances, and after the game on the postgame show, had a chance to visit with Coach Rice, and he thought three-point shooting the difference in the game.
We shoot 3 for 21 from three. That just jumps out right out. Yeah, and, you know, some of them were some pretty good looks. You know, there's always an element of the other team's defense involved, but, you know, we got some pretty clear looks at the thing, and you got to, on the road, you know, you got to be able to make some of those, and, you know, we got to get Justinian going. He's struggling right now, and we got to lift him back up, and his ball has to start going through the rim for us to be good. You know, that's reality of a long college season is some guys go through ups and downs, and you know, right now he's not seeing a big enough basket. He's got to get in there and get some to go in for him.
Justinian was 0 for 4 from three-point range since that New Mexico game when he had a career-high 23 and made 5 for 7 threes. He has made 5 of his last 23 from 3, so that's not really good percentage. But again, 3 for 21, you're not going to do much. The way this offense is constructed,
right,
you have to make more three-pointers as Boise State this year when they make 8, which 8's a decent number. You know, I thought maybe they needed to make 10 to win the game, but they're 12-2 this year when they've made 8 or more. Coach Rice also talked about the matchups during the game and how they played out.
They're a hard team to guard because the matchups are just skewed all night long. And, you know, that it puts your big guys in tough position, and you want to be able to, you know, keep not have to always play small, because when you play small, you're kind of playing in their hands a little bit, because then they're just bigger and more athletic at every position. And, you know, I thought our guys did a pretty good job defensively. You know, held them to 40%, 34 from three. You know, there was just a little stretch in that first half against the zone where they hit like three in a row, and that kind of hurt us.
All right, that's the head coach Leon Rice. It's 8:51.
Now, back to Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back, and thank God things lighten up a little bit for Boise State this week.
Well, they do. Wednesday night, last place team, San Jose State, comes to town. It'll be an 8 o'clock tip. Spartans are 0-7 in conference. They are 3-15 overall. And then Saturday, government shutdown willing, Boise State will be at Air Force. Air Force 2-4 in the conference and 8-10
overall, and that would be a night game as well. Pre-games both Wednesday and Saturday would start at 7:30, and we've got a coach's show Thursday night at 6 over at the Stonehouse.
That was interesting about Air Force. The Fresno State Air Force game was canceled.
Yes, it was. Well, postponed, they listed as now. I don't know how they're going to get Fresno back to make up the game.
Already paid for their hotel.
And their airfare, et cetera. They were actually there. And Army and Navy played, and a lot of people asked me the question, and the reason is the departments are funded differently. Army and Navy are funded out of all private money, where Air Force, I don't know why they're different, but Air Force takes government subsidies or appropriations, and because of that, they had to not be able to do
non-essential
things, non-essential stuff. So Army and Navy played, and Air Force didn't.
All right, let's check the standings.
All right, Nevada first, 7-0. Boise State is second at 6-2. And then New Mexico, who look awful here, has now moved into third place at 5-3. They've played really well at home. Fresno State is 4-3, and nobody in the league else has a winning record. A lot of threes and threes right now in the conference.
And we get a couple of the bottom rung, and hopefully...
You win both of those, you take care of business, you win at home against San Jose, you win on the road at Air Force. Now you're sitting at 8-2. Nevada has to go to Wyoming this week, so that could be a tough game for them. Wyoming, a team significantly better at home than on the road. And, of course, that's Boise State's only loss, a one-pointer in overtime. Other than to Nevada.
That would be nice.
We take this guy for granted, but Chandler Hutchison is an amazing, amazing player.
He's going to play in the league next year.
I think he is.
I don't know whether he'll be a real, you know, I think he'll be probably bottom of the first round somewhere, but I think he does enough things that he'll find his way onto a roster and be a contributor.
Yeah, and his problem is he does things so effortlessly. Now, I mean, it looks like he's not working.
But that's a sign of a really good player, though. Make it look easy.
It is.
And people should go out and see him. You're watching an NBA first round pick if you're there.
Man, maybe the best ever here. Maybe the best ever.
Maybe.
He's certainly in the argument. All right, it's 8:56. We'll see you tomorrow with Bronco Tuesday. We got, who we got?
Men's tennis.
It's 8:56. Idaho Talks Live comes up after a news break.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
All righty-dighty then. California Oh, Fox News is on California Democrats. What a breaking story that is, huh? California Democrats want some businesses to fork over half of the tax cut savings that they will get under the tax code from the president.
Right.
Calling the Trump administration's tax reform plan a middle-class tax increase. Two California lawmakers introduced a bill that would force large companies to fork over half of their savings to the state.
Would, in that particular case, would not those large companies want to move out of California? To maybe other willing states that wouldn't make them do that.
Other 49.
Or, I don't know, this one right here that we're sitting in.
It's amazing. Assemblyman Kevin McCarthy and Phil Ting, both Democrats, introduced Assembly Constitutional Amendment 22, which calls for a 10% surcharge on companies with a net earning of over $1 million. The plan could potentially raise billions of dollars for the state's social services programs, which is a good deal.
Or all the businesses could leave California.
It's unconscionable to force working families to pay the price for tax breaks and loopholes benefiting corporations and wealthy individuals.
Mm-hmm. Unless it works and they put it all right back into the economy.
Yeah, Ting said.
However, that's sometimes the case and sometimes not.
Yeah, in a statement according to the San Francisco Chronicle.
Uh-huh.
This bill will help blunt the impact of the federal tax plan on everyday Californians by protecting funding for education, affordable health care, and other core priorities. What do you think?
Okay, well, that's kind of a general question. What do I think? I think California will be the only state that does this.
Yep. They make it sound
if,
so...
If three states do it, I would say they would all be West Coast states.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Hawaii. But I don't know. I don't see that really. I don't see them pushing that through.
Well, it's only two assemblymen.
Well,
now I'm not familiar with.
Now let me read you
with their makeup. What is it? What is an assemblyman? How much power?
I think an assemblyman is a city. It's like a city councilman, right? Or the California Assembly. I guess in this case it would be like the state legislature.
So would it be like a representative?
Yeah, like a state representative.
Okay,
I guess.
All right,
the state assembly. Gary of Emmett wrote in, and this is the reason I mentioned that about maybe Idaho would benefit, because he wrote in, as the federal government grinds to a halt, Idaho might be getting a form of immigration. California is exploring new taxation to confiscate half of the tax relief given to businesses under the new tax law. If California is able to raise more taxes on businesses, many of those businesses will migrate and some will wind up coming to Idaho.
Well, he assumes that might happen.
The whole thing about giving businesses a tax break is that there are a lot of businesses, I think, who will roll the money back into operations and things like that,
sure,
and hire more people, stuff.
Sure.
With the exception maybe of the ones that are publicly traded that probably will
need to make a profit.
Well, yeah, they need to make a profit, and they will probably consider that profit. And as such, will not roll it back into the company if they're doing well, I guess, or if they're doing maybe even if they're doing poorly, I don't know.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But I certainly hope that whatever economically Congress decides to do ultimately, you know, whatever passes, whatever sticks, will end up benefiting the U.S. economy greatly. Would be nice.
Yeah. Greatly would be nice. Let's go to the phones. Steve.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Have either of you guys taken an accounting class?
Long time ago.
Me too.
Do you remember what overhead included? It included three things. It included profit for the owner.
Mm-hmm.
It included insurance for the insurance companies and taxes for the government. Those are your three major components of overhead. And so when you have a business and you're trying to make a profit, you've got to pay off the government, you've got to pay off the insurance, then you want to be paid off yourself. And then you have to take in the cost of the whatever product you're producing.
Yeah, then operations and manufacturing,
material,
et cetera.
The labor, and then your equipment costs and everything that are amortized.
Property.
So the biggest part of your overhead is government. And the second biggest part of your overhead is insurance. Those two combined make up about 40% of your overhead. And if you can cut that out of your business, you can lower the cost of your product. But it's gotten so bad over the last 50 years I've been watching it that it's become the survival mode for both government and insurance. But both of those, if you do away with them, your costs go down significantly. And then that money that if you keep your price the same and everything else remains the same, then everybody has a raise in income, and then that fosters the economy. And then as that economy grows, then government has a revenue increase. That was what Reagan did.
In 2018, though, when businesses start doing a lot better, do they lower the price of their products Or do they
usually
just
not.
Or do they just
usually
not raise not. It?
Well,
okay.
And this
and
is
do
the
they
thing.
Do they end up hiring more people and giving people more money, or do they just not fire people?
Well, a lot of times they just expand their business because a lot of them have gone overseas over the last 30 years because of the cost of overhead in this country. And that's the dilemma that we're facing, is that the government, when we say tax cuts, usually what the resulting thing should be is to cut back the government. But government never wants to cut back. In fact, they're an ever-expanding entity and have been, like I say, for the 50 years that I've been watching them. And at some point, they are strangling the economy because we've outsourced everything now rather than keeping the corporations in business. They outsource everything and downsize. And, you know, it's gotten so bad with the world economy that they're shipping jobs out of the country. And that's what Trump's trying to change. And I'm with him on that. You know, if you can bring all that money and the stuff back to this country flourishes again. And, you know, it just is plain economic sense. But a lot of people have failed to take an economics class in school, in my estimation. You know, I understand all this, but I don't know. There's other people that have other ideas, and I guess we'll hear about that.
Well, and some of them are economists.
Well, yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of socialists out there who want, you know, social justice.
Yeah.
Well, social justice, in my estimation, is if you want to accumulate wealth, go out and earn it. You know,
they don't necessarily want equal opportunity so much as they want equal results sometimes.
Exactly. And that's the problem. You can't justify equal results without equal employment, equal opportunity, and equal work. You know, when you're, you know, 20 years old, do you think you should own a house or have a 4,000 square foot house and a nice new car?
Not unless you're 20 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, some people just, they don't get it. They want everything now.
Yep.
And, you know, you have to earn things. And without earning them, you lose self-respect, in my estimation.
All right, good stuff, Steve. It's 9:15.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back in business. Let's go back to the phones and Mark. Mark, good morning.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Speaking of the ridiculousness of California's government down there, now you can see why we have a flood of Californians fleeing that state. Just recently in the news, it mentioned about the fact that California, Jerry Brown, is in the legislature down there, is going to allow illegals to register to vote. This is exactly what I warned of last year when Jerry Brown, it was on Drudge Report, well, at Daily Breitbart, a lot of news sources, that they were going to allow illegals to get driver's licenses. And I had said back then that watch what happens. This is going to allow them to vote, which will perpetually keep, and I'm sure Rich will be happy about this, the demon rat socialist party in power down there. Now, my concern also is any of these illegals coming out of state with these driver's licenses that want to trade them in for an Idaho license, will Idaho accept California licenses and not check the fact that they are illegal in the country here? This is a violation. You had a caller call in a while back, a week or two back, saying that this is almost like a civil war. You have Jerry Brown down there and this legislature down there basically defying federal laws, putting our country in jeopardy with the drug dealers, the gangbangers coming in over the border. Today on Drudge, it also mentions that the flood of illegals pouring over are at Obama levels. And I'd like to have your gentleman's thought on this.
I think it's interesting that the parts of California that are not directly on the West Coast have considered breaking off and making their own new state.
I saw that.
The agricultural areas, which...
like Fresno, Sacramento.
Yeah, yeah. Which are wildly conservative. Well, not wildly. Widely, not wild. Widely conservative. Really aren't in tune with what's happening on the big cities on the coast.
Now, as far as Idaho accepting out-of-state driver's licenses simply as, you know, to be traded in for an Idaho license. I honestly don't know how that works because I've never lived anywhere but Idaho.
Maybe sometime you could get one of our representatives on and just make a little note to ask them about this because of what California has done now.
Yeah.
And this is a big deal, guys. This is really a big deal because if these illegals can come in to this California, and again, they get the ability to get driver's licenses last year, then thus go out and be able to vote. I don't see how here in the state whether they're going to legitimately have an excuse or have the ability to go and check out if these people, just because they, again, have a California driver's license given to an illegal, is going to allow them to get one here, thus also make them have the ability to vote here, change a whole political dynamics. And maybe that's the idea. It's a Trojan horse.
Hmm.
I'll let you go on that, gentlemen.
All right, good
stuff. Have a good day.
That's an interesting question. I worked with something similar on the Racing Commission with people who had things, blemishes against their records in other states. In the old days, they used to be able to come to a new state and at least float by for a while.
Well, now we have computers now.
Bingo, so. And they can't do it. They can't do it anymore.
I think, and it used to be if you had a speeding ticket in another state and you never went back to that state,
exactly,
they'd eventually just write it off the books. But I think all 50 of them work together now, with the exception of maybe one or two that don't want to.
Right.
H.G. McCall wrote in to say, California, once you start down a slippery slope that you made yourself and get out of control, you become desperate. Enough said.
Let's go to Jim of Boise. Jim.
Hello there. As far as what Steve was saying, I temper my comments from the 60s and the 70s, but I have a degree in accounting back in the 60s, and taxes and profit most assuredly are not an overhead. And the other day, old Steve said something about, getting a piece of paper from a university by other people who think that according to them, you are smart. And I agree with that to a large extent. But I did get a piece of paper, and that piece of paper enabled me to get a job with Bank of America, who sent me to South America and Central America for a year and a half as an international bank auditor. So I do relish my piece of paper. But anyway, in my opinion, the accounting industry has gone to hell. I mean, you take Arthur Anderson and the Enron thing. And accounting just isn't as honest as it used to be, I don't think.
Well, yeah, that was what you'd call really, really clever accounting.
Well, I'm creative. But if you want to be a creative person, you don't want to be an accountant. I mean, you know.
Well, unless you're willing to sacrifice a certain number of years in prison for that.
On account we thought we could get away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully that would be the case. And I'm all for justice. You know, if somebody breaks the law, I hope they get what they rightly deserve and not profit by it. But profit, no way, is profit overhead. So anyway, that's what I got to say.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jim. 926.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:37. Let's go to the phones, and Carmen has been hanging on through the news break. Carmen, good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Well, I am a political refugee from the People's Republic of California. So I just had to call in about that. I find out more about California since I moved here to Idaho than I did when I was in California. I'm actually from a county that is the most conservative county in the state of California because we have Kevin McCarthy.
Oh.
But am I glad that I left? You better darn tootin' I'm glad I left. But, Jerry Brown, here's the thing about that whole driver's license thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to have it marked when you work. The license was supposed to be marked. Now, I've never seen one, marked. I don't know if that's true or not. It was supposed to have some kind of little dot or something on it if you were illegal, but they were going to give driver's license to illegals. So I don't know if that's true or not. But you know what Jerry Brown does and the state of California does? Because of things that we have voted on about taxes, They filter everything through the Department of Motor Vehicles. They put fines on there, and the Department of Motor Vehicles rates just go up and up and up and up. That is their out to collect money that they need to collect because they don't have to bring it to the voters.
Amazing.
And then they call it a fine. And here's something else about California that I just found out, and we're right on the brink. I think the Republicans have a plan. The federal government has a plan to kind of, I don't know, demote California in some way. And I think, and it's all going to be legal. They're already talking about doing something different and getting away from that Ninth Circuit, creating another circuit, because the Ninth Circuit carries too much.
Yeah, it's very, very area. Large, yeah.
Too much area. And the other thing is that California, this is how our illegals are voting. They're not necessarily voting. It's just that they are getting extra representatives because of how they've illegally redistricted. And when they did the 2010 census, Obama made it so you did not have to ask if you were an American citizen or not. So those illegals were counted in a household. You see where I'm going here?
Yeah.
So that created more. Well, I just read where the government now, the federal government's going to put that wording back in there in the census about whether you are a citizen or not. Because only citizens can vote. I mean, but the problem is, he is stating a problem about that, the whole licensing. If they start doing that and they spread out and they go wherever, I mean, what other states are going to check to see, if they're illegal or not? I mean, does Idaho give license to illegals?
Nope.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they do or not.
I do not think we are supposed to. However, I do not know that we do not.
That's a better way to put it.
I mean, do they ask for your, I don't know, do they ask for your birth certificate? Because, you see, when you vote, you're supposed to be a citizen. So more than likely in California, they should ask for your, if they don't know already in the system that you were born, you know, in the United States, they should ask for it. But I've worked the voter precincts before. It was a small precinct, and I was always appalled that people came in to vote, and why are we making Spanish a voter, anything other than English? Because, I mean, I had, you know, people come in there and vote. I'm thinking to myself, are you illegal or are you illegal? But, you know, evidently you're on the roster. But, I mean, you know, then they can't read it in English. I thought you were supposed to have a command of English to be a citizen.
So, true stuff.
Only citizens vote. So I don't know. And then you talk about states' rights. And then you talk about, well, I mean, Brown has brought that to a whole new level, but trust me.
Right.
I mean, it is totally, totally disgusting. But well, keep your eye open on that redistricting thing, because I read something the other day about another state about that whole redistricting thing and how, you know, the census came out and the question that they weren't supposed to ask. So, you know, I don't know.
All
I'm praying.
Appreciate that. The only thing I've heard about thanks for the call. The only thing I've heard about redistricting is in the Carolinas, where the districts, you know, are all basically gerrymandered.
Right.
That they're going to have to make them look more like grids, you know, with just, you know, a certain number of people in them. But they can't, you know, look like that thing on Gorbachev's head. Dave of Boise says, I hope people remember who is holding things up in Congress right now, so we can vote in someone else who will allow things to get done in the future. All the childish playground tactics have to stop. Our country is being determined by a popularity contest, and we the people are suffering the consequences.
Let's go to John of Boise. John.
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
That was quick. Anyway, on this illegal driver's license, it reminded me, because I heard Dale on Europe this morning, how Italy in 20 years, the people migrating into Italy will outnumber Italians. And the way they've been doing that is they get to Germany, and Germany hands them out, I forget what you call it, be like a driver's license, and then they can go to any other country with that, except some countries started figuring that out, that that's how they're overflowing in Europe. And I think that's where Jerry Brown came up with that idea here in California to allow people to go to other states, because most states honor other states. Anyway, I hope you have a good one.
You too. Right.
Thanks.
Catch you later.
Jan in Boise wrote in to say, out-of-state driver's license, just have to take the written test as long as it's not expired. So if you have a, according to Jan, if you have a California license and your license is not expired, you would just have to take the Idaho written test. Now, Micah Boise says, in California and four other states, Caucasians are already a minority, and the whole nation is heading that way in less than 20 years, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. How can a nation change its demographics in such a major way without ever taking a vote on it? My guess would be because the Constitution doesn't allow us to decide on the color of the
citizenry.
Of the citizenry. Yeah, it just kind of happens.
Whew.
And before, there were quotas about, you know, how many people from each country could come in, which started in the 1920s. Before then, anybody could come to the United States. It's just that most of the ones who did came from Europe.
True.
At that time.
No more. KBOI News Time, 9:45.
670 KBOI.
All right. California wants to take away half of the savings from some big companies on the Trump tax cuts. A lot of people don't like it. It started a vast conversation this morning. Let's go to Mark of Napa.
Yeah, good morning. This is to comment kind of on those driver's license or whatever with the illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
With Idaho having such a to-do about their license, couldn't the TSA say, we don't know where these immigrants are from, we're not going to take California driver's license to board a plane anymore?
Well, an awful lot of planes take off from California, so I'm...
Well,
I don't know how practical that would be in the long run.
Well, how practical it'd be is maybe California would think twice about giving driver's license to immigrants if it starts shutting down things. I mean, that's this is the Trump administration, not the Obama administration.
That's true.
Can't see it happening.
Probably not, but it is a point. I think you don't have no idea if these are where the mm-hmm. people are from. They just say illegal immigrants, and it could be a safety factor. All it has to do is take just one, and something happened on the plane, and believe me, they'd be shutting it down fast.
My question though is, if you don't allow illegal immigrants to get on airplanes, then how do they get back home?
Well, I don't know. I'm just thinking it would be such a headache for California that they would think twice about doing it.
Yeah, and you do have a point there. So appreciate the call.
Okay, thank
All right,
you.
Thanks. Let's see. Curtis says, "Tell Mark he can calm down." And we already had another caller who said this. Tell Mark he can calm down. Those driver's licenses illegals get are marked. They are non-transferable to any other state in the union. Only good in California. Only good for driving. Can't use them in any other state.
There you go.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's according to Curtis.
According to Curtis. There you go.
And let's see. Micah Boise says, in California and four other states, Caucasian. Okay, we already had that one. And I mentioned that you can't vote on, you know, whether you get to have white people or brown people or black people or whatever come to your your country. You can restrict certain countries, and Trump has done this, you know, several times, or at least tried to several times. He's been overruled by judges.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot do it on the basis of what color people are, and that's based on the Constitution. Mike R. Boyce, he says, here are the tax cut windfall options for corporations. One, buy back stocks, thus increasing the value to current stockholders. Two, increase the dividend paid to all stockholders, thus driving more stock purchases.
Mm-hmm.
Three, invest in research and development of new products and new markets. And four, grant a modest wage increase or one-time bonus. Most corporations will do some of the four in terms of funds expended, stock buybacks, and increased dividends by far dominating.
Well, I mean, there are ways, obviously, to distribute the wealth. And then there are ways that aren't too popular. KBOI News Time, 9:55. That'll do it for today. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning right here on Idaho Talks Live.